Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 2, if you would. And we're a couple weeks late on sharing these thoughts with you. Obviously, we've had a little bit of a tumultuous couple of weeks here, and hopefully we'll be getting back to somewhat of a normal church experience again soon. With many of our church family back with us. And mention these bookmarks with some of the significant dates for 2021 are out in the foyer on the free counter, and you're welcome to grab those. If you haven't already, grab those on your way out and take them with you so that you can mark your calendars at home. We'll talk about some of those significant dates in a little while. Before we read the text tonight in Acts chapter 2, I'll just say, I think you know that one of the things that we try to do every year in the month of November is to give some really concentrated time of thought and prayer and planning concerning the upcoming year and try to set some things in order. Not that all the planning takes place in that week, but that's often that second week of November is often a time that I set aside from being in the office and other responsibilities just to really think through the upcoming year so that we can be organized, and most of all so that we can try to seek the Lord's mind and arrange things in such a way that would be glorifying to Him. And in that week, as I spent some time with the Lord and, of course, in my thoughts, reflecting on 2020 and some of the thoughts and plans that we had. And I think you know that much of what we planned or intended for 2020, the Lord rewrote our calendar, and a lot of things were changed around. 2020 would have to go down, in my memory at least, as one of the strangest years I've ever lived, and a lot of unusual things taking place. And at this point, 2021 doesn't seem to be shaping up to be much different. And we'll get to the dates in a minute, but everything that's on the bookmark, we even put a disclaimer on it this year. All dates and activities may need to be rescheduled or canceled. And actually, God tells us that we should plan that way, that we shouldn't say, tomorrow I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but we should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So it was a good reminder to us. We always try to plan that way, but 2020 was maybe the first year that we've had to live that way through the whole year and really have seen. You know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about from 2020 that we regret, that we disliked, that we perhaps were troubled by, but we would have to say that in the midst of it all, God has been very good to us. Amen. And I'm thankful that there's still a church here. I'm thankful that God has worked through this year. We've seen some folks saved. We've seen some significant victories won, and we rejoice in those things. There obviously have been some burdens and some difficulties along the way, and the Lord was merciful in sparing us from an outbreak of sickness for the entire year, which was a blessing. And of course, I mean, I don't know any other way to say this than when we're getting together and spending time together, then we realize that a communicable disease is something that can spread. And we basically came down to the choice of we can either meet or not meet. And of course, meeting brought an added element of risk. And in whatever, the Lord's timing, the Lord's way, He's sovereign. He could have spared us from all of that. I think I was saying for a period of months leading up to the sickness that went through our church, every church that I know of that we fellowship with has had this go through their church already. There's churches actually that I know of right now that are experiencing it, and it's a tremendous trial, and it certainly stresses the church family. a lot of differing opinions about what to do, how to handle things, and we used the word unprecedented a lot in 2020 because it felt like we were making decisions that we didn't feel like we would ever have to make. Right. Never would have envisioned, for instance, that we would be forced to move to a place of over 3 months of live streaming services. I never would have imagined that happening. But, of course, that's how it played out. In the midst of all that, praise God that He has worked. He has continued to be God. And He will continue to be God no matter what happens. And we're thankful for that. For my part, I look forward to the day when we can have all of our church family back together again, and we can all be here in the same assembly together, and everyone can feel safe, and we can worship the Lord together, because there are obviously people that we miss that have not been with us in the assembly for nearly a year, and we understand those decisions, but it still is difficult. And so I hope you'll pray for the rest of your church family and pray that God will work in a mighty way to allow us to continue moving forward in the work of the ministry. What we're hearing from authorities and from those who talk like they know what they're talking about is that it will be at least the fall or the winter of this year before things will get back to quote-unquote normal in our society. That seems like a very long time away to me. And so we're going to plan and put some things down that we're going to be involved in as a church in the meanwhile, and we're going to continue serving the Lord. And for those who need to take more careful steps to protect themselves, we certainly understand that. And we just look forward to when we can hopefully move on to something that is a little more normal. For instance, not wearing masks. And I'm going to deal from the scriptures with the whole idea of masks and fellowship and the face. And we're going to do that fairly soon because there's actually a lot that the scripture talks about concerning that. And so I want to share those thoughts with you from the scripture, and practically speaking, we'll just have to make a plan going forward. But that really, those are all incidentals. The main thing that we want to talk about tonight, before we get to the dates on the calendar, is the theme that you see behind me on the banners, and I appreciate those who worked on the banners. It turned out really nice this year, and This is what we want to keep in front of our minds for this year. And this theme is taken from Acts chapter 2. You should be there in your Bibles. And we want to, this year, continue steadfastly. And we want to continue steadfastly in doctrine, in prayers, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. And we're going to talk about those things tonight. As we contemplate a new year and our opportunity to serve the Lord together as an assembly, we come to the Scriptures for the kind of guidance that we need. And I think the church in the book of Acts, here in Acts chapter 2, is a good example for us. It's a dynamic church. It's a new church. The Lord Jesus established that church in His earthly ministry. And by the time we come to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 42, the church has grown exponentially. So in chapter 1, there is 120 members. And by the time we get to the end of chapter 2, there's 3,000 people who've been saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost. The church has just literally exploded overnight in growth. And there, of course, are many needs. But it really lays out for us in Acts chapter 2 what it was that took place in this church, which then established the church for the days ahead. And we know the church at Jerusalem would not be in this form, this size, for very long. Actually, persecution would come upon them. They would be scattered abroad, and from that scattering would come a tremendous church planting ministry and the Word of God would go forward, and the disciples would exercise great boldness, and all of this was in God's plan. All of this was what God was up to. But I see, especially in verse 42, a real model, which I believe God wants us to have in front of our minds for this year as we proceed forward. So I'm going to read verse 41 down to verse 47, and I'd like to take just the next few minutes to talk to you about continuing steadfastly. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So we see the church at Jerusalem is growing, and they're not just growing numerically, but they're growing spiritually. And of course, a lot of what is happening here is in preparation for persecution that God knows is coming. And this church is being strengthened and established. And the way that they're being strengthened and established is found there in verse 42, as they continued steadfastly. So something I want to challenge us, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, about in this coming year is, I want to see us continue steadfastly. I want to see us go on in the ways of the Lord. I want to see us continue forward in the plan of God. You know, one of the things that would be tempting at a time like this, because the circumstances are perplexing, and because we really don't know what the future is, and because we've had some disappointments, it would be very tempting for us to say, well, let's just pull back. Let's just kind of exist. Let's just you know, not try anything different. Let's not be too risky. Let's just be really cautious and really careful. And what I want to really challenge you about is, what if the time is short?
Amen.
Before the Lord returns? And we know biblically that it is short, that our time is important. So we don't have time as believers to just kind of, well, let's take a year off. Let's just check out for a few months, and then we'll come back and pick up where we left off. It's not like that. Every minute of our life is important, and we want to make sure that we're investing our lives in the way that God would have us to do so. So as a church, there's three thoughts that I want to stress here in verse 42 particularly. First of all is our direction. We need to make sure that we have a direction, that we're moving in a direction. The word that is used in verse 42 is the word continued. They continued steadfastly. That idea of continuing means to persist in an activity or a process. Now, what were they continuing in? What were they doing? We'll talk about those details in a minute, but to sum it up, to put an overview, they were continuing being disciples of Jesus Christ. They were followers of Christ. They had believed on Christ. They were members of this church, and they said, we're going to continue on. There is a need for us as God's people to continue.
Amen.
You know, there are things, again, it's hard to talk about this without talking about the present condition. There are things that cause a lot of doubt to our mind. For instance, What does missions look like in 2021 with wide-ranging travel restrictions, vaccine requirements, which some of our missionaries are wrestling with, especially concerning their children? How am I going to handle that? You could get to a country and get stranded there and not be able to get back. So there's a lot of pressures that are going on. What does missions look like going forward? What are we going to do? And here's one guiding principle that I repeated to others, shared with others, which has given me perspective. It is this: God has not rescinded the Great Commission.
Amen.
So obviously, what God wants us to do is to continue going. Now, what is that going to look like? What are the details? I'm not sure about all that, but I know this: God wants us to continue going. God wants us to be involved in going with the gospel. I know for a fact that it's not God's will for us to say, cancel the missions program, call everybody home where it's safe, and then we'll just be in a holding pattern. I don't think that's what God wants. So if God wants us to go, then we have the confidence that God will provide a way for us to continue. By the way, has it ever been difficult in the past for God's churches to be involved in the cause of missions? Well, pretty much the whole history of the Lord's churches, it's been difficult. There's always been obstacles. So our vision has to be not what are the obstacles, but what is the provision? How is God going to make a way? We want to continue. We want to continue preaching. We want to continue proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are things that are happening which cause us to scratch our head and say, okay, what happens if some of the avenues that we have available to us through technology are cut off and we're no longer able to disseminate the message via those avenues? Then what would we do? How would we be involved in ministry? And maybe we would have thought a few months ago something like that was impossible and could never happen. But obviously now we have a little different perspective and we start to see the control that is exercised in different areas of the culture. And we realize, okay, if you start saying things that are disagreeable, you can get shut down. And we know there's lots of things we believe and preach that are disagreeable. So we realize, okay, we've got to think about that. But you know, at the end of it all, we would say God will always make a way for us to do ministry, and He will want us to continue.
Amen.
So we want to continue. We want to continue being a church. We want to continue following after the Lord. I found in my life, it is easy to talk about being a follower of Christ. It is another thing altogether to continue in following after Christ. It is another thing for us to say, I am going to follow Christ, and then to actually do it and pay the price of being a follower of Christ. You and I are making practical decisions every day about our direction, both individually and corporately. So in your individual life, you're deciding what your direction will be for your life. And as a church, we're making decisions together about what will be our direction. Where are we headed? Where does God want us to go? What is our direction for this year? So our direction, let's make sure that the needle of our compass is firmly set on God's will.
Amen.
Where does God want us to go? What does God want us to do? There's a direction. They continued. And it's interesting there that verb, continued, has an element of it that is a state of being. It is not as much a state of doing as a state of being. And I'll tell you tonight that if we will be the people that God wants us to be, we will do the things that God wants us to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
God will make a way. So there's direction, but there's also determination. Because it says they continued steadfastly. I like that word, steadfast or steadfastly. It's really an extension of the word continued. It means to be resolute, to be firm, and to be unwavering, to say, no, this is definitely the direction I'm going. Nothing is going to sway me from following after Christ. I am going to be steadfast. Now, what we find, and of course, in Acts 2:42, these disciples did not understand this fully, but their determination was going to be tested sorely. They're going to be persecuted like they, at this point, cannot really... Well, I say they couldn't imagine, but you do understand Jesus was just crucified. And so they must realize the sentiment against Christ is quite strong, and yet they become followers of Christ. But at this point, they're not experiencing too much of that persecution, but their determination is going to be tried. The world is going to assault them. Satan is going to try to derail them. Trials would come that would test whether or not they were going to follow after the Lord Jesus. And I ask you this question tonight. I don't know that any of us really can answer this without actually facing trials and difficulties. What will it take to derail you from your commitment to the Lord? What will it take for you to say, okay, that's too much? I think maybe now it's time for me to be a secret disciple. I think now it's time for me to change around my commitments, not be quite so dedicated to the Lord. We don't really know what we would do, do we? What would we do, for instance, if the authorities put a lock on the door and said, no services here? You say, that's impossible. That would never happen. Well, I don't know about that, actually. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I don't know about that. Our neighboring country to the north in Canada has right now very, very strict rules about churches meeting. And a church in Ontario, an Independent Baptist church, they put a big sign right out in front of the church that said, meetings over 10 people, fines $250 each person. I mean, they put it right in front of the church. Would you call that intimidation? I mean, they're very serious about those rules. You are going to follow our rules. So we can argue back and forth with whether the government should do that and what the church should do in response, but my personal opinion is, biblically, the government has no right to tell a church they can't meet. Amen. Biblically. Amen. That's the Lord's domain. And yet, we ask ourselves a question, what would we do? Well, we really wouldn't know what we would do until we were confronted with that decision, right? We don't know how we would respond. We can say, oh, bless God, I would stand for the Lord. Well, I hope we would. But what will we do if our determination is tested? It's more likely that our determination will be tested by disappointments, discouragements, more mundane trials that could cause us to waver or to go aside from the direction that God wants us to follow. Things that might cause us to say, let's pull back from, you know, let's not be so aggressive. Let's not be so determined to follow God. But, you know, we can just have church. We can just exist and everything will be okay. So we're going to be tested. You think about what it says there. They continued steadfastly. The word steadfastly has in its meaning this idea of an abundance that they experienced by following after Christ, which is why, for instance, in John 15, Jesus said, abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. And wherever there's discussions about being in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a speaking about fruitfulness and how God wants to bring forth much fruit in us. And that's exactly the idea here, is that they continued steadfastly. They continued bearing fruit. They continued experiencing the abundance of Christ in their lives. Do you know tonight that God's desire is for us to experience the abundant life? Amen. He wants us to experience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in abundance in our lives. Now, we have an abundance mentality that gets off track. So we tend to think, well, abundance means lots of people. That's not always the case. Do you know that small churches can experience abundance? They can experience God's abundance. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to grow exponentially, numerically, but they can still experience God's abundance. We tend to think, well, God will bless me by giving me lots of money. That's how we judge it. No, it's not. That's not the right judge either. God measures things in a different way. But there is a determination that is necessary. There is a determination that we must say, okay, I'm going to continue steadfastly. I'm going to continue following after the Lord. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And did you see it there in 1 Corinthians 15:58? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It's the abundance. It goes together. The steadfastness, the abundance, it's a similar thought there that goes together. So these believers in the church at Jerusalem were continuing steadfastly. There's direction, there's determination that says, no matter what, I'm going to keep following the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what difficulties we're going to face, we're going to keep serving the Lord. That's why we've chosen that as our theme, continue steadfastly. I think 2021 is a year we need to continue steadfastly. We need to be determined that we are not going to allow trials or difficulties to lead us off the path or to get us confused about God's direction. We need to be determined. But now verse 42 also then gives us some details. How was this expressed, their determination and their direction? Well, there's four areas, and as it turns out, these four areas are things that we want to really emphasize in this coming year, that we want to make sure that we are strong on these things. Those four areas are listed in our text in verse 42, and they're on the banner: the apostles' doctrine, and then fellowship, and then breaking of bread, and then prayers. And so let's talk about those four things and why they're important tonight, and then we'll talk a little bit about the calendar. First of all is the apostles' doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, it simply is teaching, or what we believe. This is something that confuses a lot of people in postmodern, or actually post-postmodern, however we figure that out, all right? We're in a confused age. And by that, I mean, when I say confused, I mean the average person out in the world lives by the philosophy of relativism, moral relativism, which is there is no truth. Everybody can just believe what they want, do what they want, and everything will work out. It really doesn't matter what you believe. It just matters how you feel when you're with people. And consequently, what we find is people come into a church looking for a church home, and what they're interested in is getting all the vibes. And so as long as we get all the vibes, this is the place for us. There's actually a much more beneficial way of judging a church family, and that would be, what do they believe? Do we believe the same thing? I could go to a place and get all the vibes and then find out that they are off on some areas of doctrine, and I can't join myself to that body of believers. I can't join myself to that church if there's some disagreement. Because why? Because there has to be some unity of doctrine. The Bible speaks much about unity. Ephesians 4, if you want to turn over there real quickly, and I'll be over there in just a minute. It's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Christianity is more than feeling good by being around each other or liking the people that we're with. That's a very shallow attachment. I don't know how to say this except to say it. Sometimes there's going to be people that you're not even going to like that are in the church, And yet you need to be unified with them. You need to have the same mind. And you say, how does that happen? It happens when we all together have the mind of Christ. When we put aside our own things and we pursue after the mind of Christ. So there are some areas of doctrine that we need to make sure we're in agreement with. We ought to be drawn together by a unity of belief. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 says, there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And what he's talking about there in the context of Ephesians 4 is unity. And how is unity achieved? Later in Ephesians 4, he says God gives to the church pastors and teachers, evangelists for the work of the ministry, so that they can teach, so they can equip the members of the church, so that we would not all be tossed around with the winds of doctrine all the time, but so that we can be established in biblical truth. It's important that we know the things that we believe and why we believe it. And we try here, I think you know this, to emphasize through expository teaching and preaching why we believe the things that we believe. Amen. And as we preach through passages, we take time to instruct and to point out biblical doctrine so that you have an answer to give. When people say, why do you believe that? You can say, well, here's what the Bible says. By the way, that's the right answer. Here's what the Bible says. Not, this is what my pastor says. I'm not opposed to you knowing what your pastor says, but you need more than just what your pastor says. You need what the Bible says, so that you could open the scriptures yourself and say, here is exactly why I believe in this. This is why this is important to me. So what we believe is what binds us together. There's a unity of belief. Now, I understand that in a church of any size, and especially if that church is growing and reaching new believers, there is some disparity as far as understanding and even agreement about doctrine. So you may have some folks come in who have some differing ideas. And one of the things that we discuss sometimes when people say, well, I don't necessarily agree with you in this area of doctrine. So my question always is, are you willing to listen and are you willing to change if you see it from the scriptures? And what I'm listening for is an affirmative answer. And if they say to me, you know, I just never would agree with that area of doctrine, no matter what anybody said to me, honestly. And I don't try not to say this in a mean way, but here's the truth. You're not going to be happy here. You're not going to be happy, because when we preach and teach about these areas of doctrine, we're going to say it like we really believe it and like it's so. Amen. And that's going to grate against you. You're going to say, I don't like that. And then it's going to end up causing some difficulties in relationships with other believers. So, you know, it's important that we have the same doctrine. It's important that we believe the same things. So these believers, and you can understand, these people were just recently saved. Most of them were Jewish proselytes who had come from other parts of the world for the day of Pentecost, for the Pentecost celebration. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd turned to Christ. And so they were coming out of a Jewish background. There was some growing that needed to take place. I think that's important. I think it's important for a church to have people who are members, who are coming, who don't understand everything. Because what that means is we don't have all mature Christians here. I saw it put this way the other day. If a church is growing and everybody thinks the same way and has exactly the same standards and is on the exact same page, there's a problem, because the way they're growing is by pulling members from other churches who are already mature Christians. If we have new believers, it's expected that they're not going to necessarily understand everything, but they're going to have a thirst, aren't they, for wanting to know the truth. Amen. And it's important that we're going to seek after the same kind of belief. Where is that belief going to come? It's going to come from the scriptures. And as we patiently instruct, we should all be open to growing in our understanding of doctrine and pleasing the Lord thereby. It actually matters what you believe, because what you believe determines your behavior. And eventually, your behavior will reveal your true belief. It'll turn up. So these folks, you know, they got on the same page about doctrine. That's a good thing. And one of the things we want to do at the in the church this year is we want to really take some time to stress what we believe and why we believe it. We've got some things that we are working on in future days that we're going to begin to deal with some of these doctrines in a systematic way, what is called systematic theology, and kind of more of an overview, a broad treatment of different aspects of theology. And kind of like, you know, the other night when Brother Thomas was ordained, he went through his doctrinal statement in an hour. And, you know, we'll spend a little more time than that. And we'll try to give more of a broad treatment, because we tend to, and this is exactly what we should be doing, but we tend to, you know, hone in on different areas of systematic theology as we're preaching through a passage. So we want to kind of give the big picture, and then, of course, you'll see where some of those things fit. And for many of you, it'll be a review, and for others, it'll be revealing and helpful. But doctrine is important. We want to make sure that we believe the same things. The second thing in our passage in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in is fellowship. And when we talk about fellowship, we understand that biblical fellowship, according to the book of 1 John, starts with our fellowship with God. You can't have biblical fellowship without being a true believer. You can be friends, you can have common interests, you can enjoy time together, but you can't have biblical fellowship if you're not a true believer or the other person is not a true believer. It's important that we would have biblical fellowship. One of the reasons we preach so much about salvation is because without salvation, nothing else really matters. Amen. If you're not truly saved, what does it matter? Amen. What does it matter what you believe about the sign gifts or what you believe about the doctrine of the church or what you believe about the doctrine of the Bible? Really doesn't matter. If you're not saved, all that belief is not going to get you into heaven.
Right.
You've got to deal with that issue of salvation. And so we often preach about salvation and admonish that you need to make sure that you're in the faith. But biblical fellowship is not just between me and God. This is actually a very popular viewpoint in the world today. I don't need church. I don't need other believers. You know, I have a strong relationship with God. I just go out in the woods and me and God talk. Well, I'm glad you go out in the woods and you and God talk, but actually, if you don't understand that you need a church, you're misunderstanding some things from the Bible, and I'm actually questioning how strong your relationship is with God. Because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And all through the New Testament is clear, we need other believers and we need to have fellowship with them. And this fellowship that is spoken about in verse 42, it's borne out all through the Scriptures. It's a partnership. It's an intimacy of relationship. It's a sharing of the inner life. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to open up. It's hard to share with others what's really going on the inside. But primarily, this fellowship is built around the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
We don't fellowship about our feelings so much as we fellowship about what does God say. Now, our feelings, of course, will get involved in that and mingled up in that. But fellowship really is on the basis of truth. And that, again, comes back to that idea of doctrine. That's what binds us together. So we want to make sure that we're fellowshipping with one another. And I would say, you know, as a church, this has been actually one of the most challenging aspects of the last year, is because we're supposed to social distance. We're supposed to stay away from each other. We're supposed to wear masks. And all of these things actually impede fellowship. They don't aid fellowship. And so we've got to figure out, okay, how do we handle these things Because fellowship is really important. Fellowship is what binds us together. We need that fellowship. We need that kind of camaraderie around the things of God. There's doctrine, there's fellowship, then there's breaking of bread. And there's some disagreement about what exactly is meant by breaking of bread. Some people believe this is talking about the Lord's table, and certainly we know that there is in the Lord's table a breaking of bread. I actually don't believe that that is what this is talking about. And the reason that I don't believe that is what this is talking about is because later it says in verse 46, they were breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And in the context, it's talking about how they were sharing meals one with another. And I actually believe that is what the breaking of bread, specifically in Acts 2:42, is referring to, is the sharing of meals together. And I don't have time to get into all the reasons why I believe that. By the way, I'm not minimizing the importance of the Lord's table. And we, sadly, we had plans to observe the Lord's table, and then things started getting complicated. And so hopefully, in a little bit here, we're going to be able to observe the Lord's table. I think that's important, by the way, for a church to observe the Lord's table. And it's been a long time since we've been able to do that. We're going to try to find a way to do that safely and to fellowship together around the Lord's table. But needless to say, I think what's being spoken about in verse 42 is instead the sharing of our life, the idea of being together. So fellowship specifically is our life around the Scriptures and around what God is doing in our life. And this idea of breaking of bread, honestly, is just that time where we're together, where we spend time together. What do you do when you share a meal? Well, you sit and you talk about your life. You talk about what's going on. There's something about eating together that, I don't know, it's easier to talk or something like that with your mouth full of food. And but, you know, that's important to spend time together, to sit down over a cup of coffee or over a meal and to talk about this is what's going on in my life. This is the New Testament idea of hospitality. Hospitality is important. It's important. We, several years ago, had that as a theme. And so one thing that we find about these believers is, and it's, you say, you know, why is there such an emphasis on this? Well, for one thing, because a lot of these people who got saved, they actually didn't live in Jerusalem. We know they were proselytes. We know that from Acts chapter 2, they were from all over the world. They had come, they heard the gospel, they got saved, then they got baptized, and here they are, and they're kind of stuck, right? Because they don't have jobs in this place, they don't have houses in this place, and now what happens is that those who are there begin to open their home, show hospitality. They're sharing meals together. God is using this to bind their hearts together. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Our church is not 120. It's a little bigger than that. But could you imagine if next Sunday we had 3,000 people saved and baptized? And all of you people would be saying, who are these people that just took over our church? How do we get to know them? What are their names? What are they like? What are their interests? How do we get to know who they are? How is that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen by saying, hey, we need to spend some time together. Come over to the house. Let's sit down and talk. Let's have a meal together. And as much as we realize the difficulty of this hour, I'm going to tell you that as a church, this is very important for us. This spending life together. This being together. You can't, I said to somebody, I don't remember when, you can't minister to people at arm's length. You can't minister to people across the room. There is a place and it is required to have in-person ministry. There's a local denominational church which has not had in-person services since the beginning of the pandemic. Their pastors will not perform any funerals in person. They will only do Zoom funerals. Listen, you can't minister to people that way.
Right.
And I realize it's an unprecedented and difficult time, but how do you minister to people? You get in their life. There's risk. There's difficulty. As a church, we need to be together. We need that time. I know you need that time. Do you remember what it was like when we started coming back for parking lot services?
Amen.
And you saw each other? And you were supposed to distance? And none of you did? None of you. Even the ones who really believe in distancing. Why? Because we need that. There are more needs that we have than just our physical safety.
Amen.
We have emotional and spiritual needs which are met by being involved in one another's lives. So there's doctrine, there's fellowship, there's breaking of bread. We're going to be trying to encourage those times of fellowship and spending time together. And then there's prayers. We spent an entire year in 2019 talking about prayer and trying to strengthen our life as a church together in prayer. And I think God grew us through that time. And we've tried to continue those patterns. But I believe praying together is one of the most important functions of an assembly.
Amen.
It's important that we have teaching. It's important that we have fellowship time. It's really important that we get on our faces before God as a church and pour out our hearts to Him. It's important. We intend to continue having our monthly prayer meeting. We don't intend to cancel that. And I realize not everyone is comfortable coming. It's not convenient for everyone. But are we really a church if we don't pray together? One of the patterns of the New Testament church in the New Testament is they prayed together. And so we want to be doing that. We want to be gathering together and bringing our petitions before the Lord, praising Him for His blessings in our life. And sadly, the truth that we find in modern day Christianity is that the prayer meeting is usually the most neglected meeting of the assembly. You have a music service, lots of people come. You have a dynamic evangelist come through, people will come from all over. You say we're going to have a prayer meeting. My schedule's full. I'm busy. I can pray at home. And you can. You can. You can pray at home. God hears your prayer. But there's something special about when we gather
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
We pray together. We beseech the Lord's face. And so we're going to be emphasizing these areas of doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, these are not new things. They're things that we've done for a long time, but we want this year to be a year of continuing steadfastly. So that no matter what happens, no matter what lockdown might be in the future, no matter what new strain of virus might come, no matter what who knows what other turmoil might be in the future this year. We know this. God wants us to continue steadfastly. So we will find ways to do these things. No matter what comes, we're going to do these things because we're a church. We're committed to it. We're going to be emphasizing these things. And Lord willing, we'll get to the end of 2021 and we'll be stronger for it. And God will have blessed us in the midst of those things.